Amen. Thank you, Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 18, a familiar passage of scripture to so many. Jeremiah chapter number 18. And for the tape room, we always use that terminology. I think it's the video room now, the digital room. We just call it the tape. Whatever that room is up there, the title today is The Remodeling Hand of God. I'll just say this. Remodeling is something that sometimes is worse than building it right the first time. And, God made everything, including man. And when he was done, he said it was good. And there's so many times that this world, because of sin, entered into the world and death upon because of sin, and things began to wind down. We all see it in our houses. Don't you wish you could paint it once and never have to paint it again? I'm not a painter. I'm an ainer. I'm not sure what that means. It just means I ain't wanting to paint anytime I'm doing it. Amen? All of you English teachers, I'm sorry for that. Jeremiah chapter number 18 this morning. I'll just say this. I'm so thankful for the hands of God being willing to remold and remake man. Made in his image, but destined for all of us to have to be remade in his image. We don't think of the Christian life as being God investing in us, redeeming us back into himself, and then having to remold or remodel us back into his image because of how we've gotten away from God. The message today is not meant to be disheartening, but to be encouraging, that we have a God who is ready and steady with his hands to remake and remold. I think we'll find it clearly in the passage of Scripture. So let's pray, and I hope you found it now in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter number 18, and we'll begin in verse 1 after we pray. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for your redeeming love. I appreciate you, God, for loving me even when I was unlovable. God, even now, I think of all the folks in the world who wait to hear and to feel the hand of God in their lives. We've been focused on missions this month. Lord, help us never to forget that so many others, Lord, we have heard and we have felt your touch, the effect of God in our lives, and how many others need to hear the gospel preached and have the hand of God to remodel their lives. I pray that you would help us as a church to never be satisfied with receiving Christ ourselves, but to send the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world and across the street so that people could be saved. God, I pray today that you'd help me. Help me to be your messenger boy, to preach the unsearchable riches that can be found in Jesus Christ. But God, I pray the Holy Spirit would do and have free reign in the hearts and in the thoughts of your people today. I pray your word would go out, and Lord, that people would respond to it today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18, if you would, in verse number 1, the Bible clearly teaches us here that God is going to give us a picture. Jeremiah is a prophet, and he is going to prophesy something that God wants to do with Israel. Israel was much like us. They were on and off. They loved God and served him in obedience, and then they didn't. Sometimes when God reproved them and told them he would remodel, they said, we won't do it. Sometimes they said, we will do it. And so I want you to see here in the scripture, God speaks to them, and he says through Jeremiah in verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that was made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, the As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. We could read on in the passage today and realize that Israel in this instant does not choose to repent, but to rebel. I'm not sure where you are today in your remodeling process of your life, but God is working in everyone's life. It is clear the picture that the hands of the potter were on the work. The work was not spinning out of control. He didn't leave it to itself. It wasn't spinning there without a molding. I think every one of us today, and I'm going to do my best not to get off track and to speak on things that need to be spoken on, but be direct about what I am preaching on today. But let me tell you about our children and this nation. We don't need to turn people loose and do what they want. They need to have hands put on them, guided, molded, and shaped. Left to themselves, they will be a mess. If inside of hands that are God's hands and the potter's hands and someone who is a skillful molder of men, if a person can be marred in the hands of the potter, then what chance has someone free to do whatever they want on the wheel? We are a nation of people that have taught our children and taught our parents that they have a little spark inside of them, and as long as we stay back far enough and fan that, it's going to burst into a big flame, and they're going to, you know what that's going to do? It's going to burn them up. They will be consumed, not built up, not steadfast, not taught from the generations before to be built up in their most holy faith. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? I'm saying that today because we have an epidemic in our country of people forgetting where they came from, forgetting character and the things that built this nation, and we have a lawless, hopeless generation unless they come into repentance before God and give God the molding hand on their lives to change us. As a nation, a generation. Folks, I'm telling you, you say, well, I believe, you know, it's not necessarily us as a nation. Have you looked? Just because you have something more favorable in the White House doesn't mean the nation has changed. No president will change the generation that currently lives on planet Earth. He cannot shape, he cannot mold, he can only lead and guide our nation in a direction. Listen, God didn't raise up presidents to raise your kids. I've never believed that. You've never believed that. The church has never preached that. Not the state, no one in the state house or in a state office should raise your children or tell them right from wrong. That should happen from the home and from the church house, not from the state house. Amen. That was free. Amen. The remodeling hand of God is clear that he will remodel a nation. And if he will remodel a nation is like a church, is made up of people. It is not some entity or government. Thank God for our government is made up not of, if I could say this, men or positions or heirs that will inherit this kingdom, but of ideals that came from the Word of God, from truths that are foundational, that came from heaven, that all men are created equal. Amen. Folks, I think sometimes we miss where our foundation is and how we need to be remolded. We need to be remade into the image of what God made us to be as a nation, as men and women. The purpose of a lady, to get back to the remolding purpose of what God made women to be, the helpmeet of their husband. Amen. Preacher, I don't like that. Take it up with God. I'm just preaching His word. These are not my thoughts. They're His thoughts. They're not my words. They're His words. You're not rebelling against the preacher when you go against what God says. You're rebelling against Almighty God. Jeremiah is just God's messenger in this passage of Scripture. Israel did not rebel against Jeremiah. They rebelled against Almighty God. Say, preacher, why are you focusing on this? Because I really believe we need a remolding. Guys, don't think you're getting off the hook today. We need a pack of men that are wimps, that won't lead, play Xbox until 3 a.m, and then decide to get up and sleep half the day away. We don't need people that have a purpose to do the least amount that they can possibly do. Whatever happened to an American, a man that would wake up and want to guide his family and see something change for the good because of his hands, that he put his hands to? Instead, all we're looking is for ease and the easiest way we can make a paycheck and how we can live at ease with ourselves. We need to be remolded as men to be leaders and lead our home spiritually. To lead our home to be workers and not lazy. To be men that get up and go and lead. I think sometimes that it's not the ladies' fault. They have the requirement to take over the home because the man won't. Say, preacher, why are you getting on us today? I'm trying to encourage you. If you were doing all those things, guess what? We'd be encouraged. Amen. Not somebody to drive and take over, but look, I'm just going to remind you today, the remodeling, it starts with me. If a nation is going to be remodeled, I can make no choice for you. I can only make a choice for me. That God can work on me. That God can put His hands on me. That God can have His way in me. I'll show you some people that God worked on. Why don't we turn to Jonah chapter number 1? You say, preacher, why are you starting there? I think we ought to start with the preachers. There's a whole sack of them that aren't worth the clothes that they wear. A worthless sack of skin that won't stand up for anything. Got no backbone. They need somebody else to prop them up. When God clearly gave them a book to preach and a purpose to live and to work. Say, preacher, who are you preaching against? I'm not naming them right now. I'm not against naming them. Some days I do, some days I don't. But you know who they are. The ones that will clearly say, it's not for me to say. Huh? Not for me to say? When God's already said it? Folks, you know that there are people, they say, it's not for me to say that people are dying and going to a devil's hell. When the Bible clearly teaches that people that die without Jesus Christ are on their way to a devil's hell. And that the only way to be saved is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you know there will be preachers that say they think He is a way? He's not a way, He's the way. I got no backbone to stand up against everything else that calls itself truth when it is strictly an error and contrary to the Word of God. Jonah is a man who has been faithful, preached, and comes to a crossroads in his life. God has had His hand on him, and He says, I want you to do something that you don't want to do. Do you know that that happens on a regular basis, not only in your life, but in the life of the preacher? That God will ask us to go to a place that we don't want to go, to do something that I don't feel like. Listen, you say, we could have turned and saw Moses, but somebody just recently preached on it. He said, God, it can't be me. Jonah doesn't say that. Look at what it says in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Sounds a lot like Jeremiah, doesn't it? The son of, look at what it says, Ammonitah, And as it's saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. So what kind of city was it? Sounds like it's a pretty big place, isn't it? That great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with it unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Many of us have heard this story, but I don't have time to read all of it to you. But listen, this is a rebellious preacher who God had molded and brought him to a place where he was happy to prophesy in Israel, to his people Israel, to the Jew. He had some, I don't know what it was, maybe it was prejudice. Maybe it was anger because of something. The Ninevites were people who were an evil people. It is said that as you led up and went to the street to go into the city gates, that it was lined with the heads of their foes and people who they had taken captive. I can only imagine if the Bible says it's a wicked place, it sounds like it was a lot like Sodom and Gomorrah. God was ready to destroy and do exactly what he would have done to Sodom and Gomorrah. What he did to Sodom and Gomorrah, he was going to do that in Nineveh, and he gave them a space to repent. And if they're going to repent, they have to have the word of God. They have to have someone preach the gospel to them. The gospel needs to be preached among the nations. Sometimes we get to the place we say, I don't like the people in Russia. Well, listen, I don't like what they do. I don't like their politics, but they are souls and they will spend eternity somewhere and they need a preacher. The people in the Middle East, although you may never have them for dinner and they may never see eye to eye with everything you are or the culture in which you live, they are souls that will spend eternity in a devil's hell if they don't have a preacher. If they don't have someone who will give them the word of God. Yes, they have a religion that wants to kill us. But somebody has to go. Somebody has to preach. Somebody has to send people to those folks who are lost in their religion. Jonah is sent to a people like that. A lawless people. A wicked people. A people that Jonah did not believe were worthy of the gospel. I don't know who you are today, but is there any place on earth that you are so prejudiced against them that you do not believe that they are worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We don't think so sitting here today, but Jonah proved it. In himself, in love with his nation, willing to preach at home, but unwilling to preach to the people that God sent him to. You say, I would never do that. It's not because of prayer. Listen, I believe that God has called people to be missionaries in this room, but we have told God no. God is willing to remold and remake our life to be able to go and to preach the gospel in places, but we say no, because we don't care for the mission field that God sent us to. And God broke our heart for Jonah. What happened to Jonah? Was God done? When Jonah decided to get outside of the hand of God, even what it said here, he sought to flee from the presence of the Lord. I want to get somewhere where God can't touch me anymore. That's a sad place to be, by the way, folks. He sought to flee. Well, he did. What did God do? God prepared a storm. God prepared a fish. Do you think that storm felt like a blessing to anybody that was in it? Absolutely not. They threw all the things that were on the ship that they were carrying overboard before they finally got to Jonah. And Jonah said, this ain't never going to be fixed until you throw me overboard. He thought to save the lives of the people on the boat, even when God had sent him to save the lives of the people in Nineveh. He still had a right mindset. I don't care. These men that I'm present with, I'll try to save them by giving my own life. Wouldn't it be better if we were just obedient to God and let him continue to remold us and make us? Listen, Jonah's no different than a lot of us. He got where he was supposed to go. He gets thrown overboard and God has prepared a great fish. Now, I've been fishing, but I don't ever want to be the bait. Swallowed up, spit up on land, and then gets up and walks in and preaches an 8-word message. And from the king all the way to a child that could not discern the left hand to the right, they humbled themselves before God. And God saved their nation, their city. You say, preacher, you believe God can do that? He recorded it in Scripture. Where a rebellious and reluctant preacher went and preached the gospel, not even with everything that he had, but he just told a people who needed to hear, and they repented. I'll move on. How about a reluctant or ruined disciple? Move with Matthew chapter 24 with me. Matthew 26, if you would. Matthew 26. God remolded Jonah. He remolded him into the preacher that he needed for that day. If God can remold Jonah, he can remold me. He can remold you. How about a disciple? You're a Christian in this place today. Can God remold you or remake you? Well, Peter was a follower of Jesus Christ. Actually, one of his disciples followed him. Matthew 26 picks up where Jesus is in. He's being tried. He's being questioned. Peter and John. John followed closely. Peter followed afar off. He's standing outside of the area. And in verse, if you would, 69 in chapter 26, the Bible says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all. So he denies Jesus openly, saying, I know not thou what thou sayest. And when they had gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied him with an oath. He denies him openly that he doesn't know what they're talking about. Second of all, he puts his hand down and swears to Almighty God that he doesn't know Jesus. He takes an oath that he doesn't know him. And look at what it says next. And after a little while, he says, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Jesus had already told him that he was going to deny him thrice. Peter comes to this place, and in fulfillment of what Jesus knew was going to happen, because he could see it, because Jesus is God, he comes to a place where Peter openly, listen, the first lie wasn't all that big a deal. Not to Peter. They said, you know him, right? And he goes, oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. He walks outside to get away from the crowd that he had to lie to, probably grieved inside himself. And then someone calls him on it again, and he takes an oath. I swear that I do not know that man. And then he comes to a place where, if I could say it like this, because of how he spoke. You know, sometimes as a Christian, when you tell everybody you're not a Christian, or you're trying to hide it, or you don't want people to know where you go to church, and I'm not saying anybody's like that today. I'm just saying this is where he was. And a lot of people in the early days of Christianity are trying to kind of be coy because they're not sure they're in. They're not sure they're out. Peter doesn't know what's going to happen with Jesus. He's headed to the cross. He has no idea that Jesus that he is with, he thinks he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has no power. He doesn't realize he has the power of resurrection. He's going to go to the grave and rise again. And he denies him. And then he changes his speech. Why did he say, listen, he goes back to talking like a fisherman does. He begins to curse and say things that someone who has been with Christ would never say, to confirm to them that he is not one of the disciples. Do you know that this same man is remolded by the hands of God? They sit around a fire, and Jesus looks at him. And you may think that he's being hard on him, but it pictures to me like he's on the wheel. He says, lovest thou me? And the clay looks up at the potter and says, you know I love you, Lord. You know I love thee. Listen, folks, I don't know how many times in my life, and probably in yours, that my disobedience has had me go back on the wheel and my father say, do you love me? And I say, you know I love you, Lord. You know I love you. What does he say? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Listen, I don't know where you are today, but I know this. As I was pondering the hand of God and his remodeling hands, it led me to a place. In all the times of my life that God has had to remold and reshape this old country boy. You think the man that stands before you was the man that God got? He got a guy with boots and flannel, rough as a cob, unlearned, undesirable to do the will of God. But the remolding hand of God has worked and shaped and molded me into a man that God can use, that has a heart for the things of God. And God will do that with anybody that surrenders himself to him. But when I began, I thought about all that begins. That remolding hand of God first took the redeeming hands of God. I thought about his hands being down here, but before he did that, his hands had to go here on the cross. Those hands that are on the clay are hands that are pierced with nails that were meant for me, that were meant for you. Stripes on his back, the torture that he endured in the crucifixion was not meant for Jesus Christ. It was meant for those of us who are sinners in need of a Savior. And before I ever felt the remolding hands of God, I realized that the hands of God were pierced for my transgression. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I can read in the scripture that the returning Jesus Christ, who will come in glory, will come riding back with me, and they'll see him in the clouds, and they'll ask him, where did you get those wounds in your hands and in your side? He'll say, in the house of my friends. Folks, I'm just going to tell you today, I remember a day. Do you know all what happened in every one of these men's lives that got away from God, got marred in the hands of the potter? They repented. They repented of whatever it was that got them away, and they turned back and turned in and with sorrow. Peter, if we were to read the verse, speaks of his sorrow and brokenness over his denying of Jesus Christ as he fled away. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God is willing to remold, remake your life, reshape you. I don't know where you've been or how far you've gotten away from God, whether it's one step or many. Whether it's still on the wheel, just kind of began to fold up and come apart in the hands of the potter. But I know this, that every one of the remolding that takes place always starts with redemption. It starts with putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It'd be like getting on the wheel by putting your faith and trust, accepting his payment on Calvary for your sin. And then the remolding starts. You say, what example do you have? Well, there's many in Scripture. But the one that preaches to you today has a testimony that no remolding started in my life until after I was redeemed. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He changed me. He changed everything. He changed my destiny. I'm no longer headed for hell. I'm headed for heaven because I put my faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. And then I put myself on his wheel. And I haven't always been what I ought to be, but I'm thankful for the remolding hand of God, who, as long as I was willing to repent, has been faithful to remold my life and to make me what I ought to be. Listen, you know he can do that with anybody. God's desire is to do that with you today. Now the danger is this, and this is the invitation. There are three types of people in this room today. There are people who need to be redeemed and need to accept Jesus as their Savior. And maybe that's you. And what you should do today to remedy that is come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And then there are two other types of people. They have been saved and been redeemed, but they've never been remolded yet. Or they're in the midst of being remolded, and they know it. And we need to come and be thankful and ask God to continue his work in us. And the third person is someone who is here today and doesn't feel like they need any remolding. They've been saved some time ago, but they see no problem in their life or that God has no more work to do with them. And they are happy to stay right where they are. And my petition to you today is to realize that you need remolding, that God desires to do a work. And I beg you not to get off the wheel. The Bible says that they were marred in the hands of the potter. One day we'll stand before this vessel that we are, the vessel that you are, will stand before the righteous judge, Jesus Christ. Now you think that there's going to be more grace and honor? Listen, every one of us that are saved will stand before Jesus Christ, not for our sin, but for the opportunities, folks, that we have to serve him in this life. Do I want to stand as marred a vessel as I used to be before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or do I want him to consistently work on his purchased possession until I see him face to face? Let me ask you this. Jonah clearly made his decision. Israel clearly made their decision. They said, we will not be remolded. We will not be remade. They didn't stop being God's people. They just continued in their rebellion. Where are you at today? Yes, Lord, that's me. Begin your work in me. I need remolding. I need remaking. Or is it, I'm fine where I am. I'll not have God work on me. I'll not allow his working in or through me. You say, preacher, we're in church today. We want God's working. Do we? Israel wanted God's blessings, but they didn't want his hands on them. And let me just say this. You cannot have the blessings of God without his hands resting on you. You can't have that. Today, I beg you, whatever it is God's asking you to do, would you do it during the invitation? If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, make a way down to the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can accept Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian today, maybe a preacher like Jonah need to say, God, I need to do what you've asked me to do. Maybe you're someone God's calling to preach, to be a missionary. Do what God's asking you to do. Maybe you're here and you're like Peter. Do what Peter did. Return to the Lord. Be broken over the sin of denying him or walking away from him or not letting him mold you, and come back to Christ today. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, I do not know how God spoke to your heart, but I know this, that his word does not return void, that God is speaking in this place, and that means we need to react to his word. If you're here today and you need to be saved, I beg you, during the invitation, make your way to the front. If you're a Christian and you're away from God, make your way to the front. If you're a Christian and you're in the midst of the remolding process of God, ask God to continue his work. Could you stand with me today? I'm going to pray. And before Brother Burt begins to sing, I'm going to ask God to bless our invitation. Dear God, I pray that you would help us today. Help people to be saved. Help folks to continue in their remolding process and yield themselves fully to you. God, I pray that you'd be with those that maybe have been resistant to your work in their lives. And I pray today would be the day that they give themselves to your hands to be on them, to remold and make them. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Just as